You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the Cooligans, stupid.
All right, we are live. What's good, everybody? And like I said yesterday, I said Alexis will be away this week, but we have a perfectly capable substitutes. Christine Kupo crushed it yesterday. And now we have another super special guest. You may know her as the host and presenter of MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. Everybody, big round of applause for Jillian Sakovitz. Yo! What is good? What's good, Jillian? What's good, everybody in the chat? Thank you so much for coming through to everybody in the chat. And Jillian, thank you so much for coming through today.
Oh my gosh, this is so exciting. I don't even know where to look.
So yeah, there's a lot of like, you know, I think for like an ADD child, this is, there's a lot.
So that's why I'm having an issue.
There's a lot of distractions, you know, you can have a lot of fun here. All right, what's good? Mario Salazar said a drum roll. People saying, yo, Robin Tagini says Jillian.
Hi, Robin. What up, ATL?
That's right. We have a lot of ATL homies here in the chat as well. Mario Salazar said, also, Jillian gets a best entrance prize.
Well, you know, I felt very safe knowing that I was more of like a silhouette than like a sure. My face. Yeah.
It felt like a documentary where you were going to reveal a secret.
Yeah.
So, this is super exciting. We obviously, there's a lot of Major League Soccer stuff to discuss because, we've been talking about this ad nauseum, just the heat. The heat around MLS and Apple TV is just, I know it, you must feel like a celeb walking down these New York City streets now.
Well, I felt like it walking through that rainbow door. That's honestly the best treatment I've gotten since the launch of MLS Season Pass, minus the really nice people over at MLS Season Pass. Like, that entrance was everything.
Okay.
I kind of want to bring it to Season Pass.
Okay. All right. Look, that's, look at that. Apple TV stealing our ideas already. I love the Crimson Pizza in the chat just said, damn, Alexis has been looking so much better this week.
just wait.
finally Alexis is taking all the health and beauty and grooming advice that I've been giving him for years, so it's been a nice upgrade. So what's good, everybody? Welcome to the Cooligans.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
Let's go. My name is Christian Polanco. I'm joined by my special guest co-host
Jillian Sakovitz.
That's right. And you've seen her obviously for years. How long have you been at MLS now?
2015 was when it all began.
I think you say double-digit years. Like, yes. I'm like, Jillian, you're not that old.
Yes, I started in middle school.
Child prodigy, MLS reporter.
I
started in middle school. I was a real diehard.
You were the center back for the New England Revolution in 96. I remember that.
Yes.
How long? It's been a minute.
It's been a minute. So 2015 is when I first started, and I bet you didn't think I was going to bring this name up today, but I probably have to thank Caleb Porter for that.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. I mean, maybe I do. Maybe it's more like I have to thank Diego Valeri, Liam Ridgewell. I don't know. But
sure.
It was 2015.
The Portland Timbers. Yeah.
I grew up playing soccer and I always wanted to cover it, but I was working at a local news station in New York. And to be honest with you, we covered all high school sports, and we covered the Knicks and the Yankees and the Rangers. But, like, we never covered soccer.
Right.
NYCFC was beginning to be a blip on the radar. Like, no one covered the Red Bulls. Maybe because Tommy McNamara happen to be from Rockland County, did we begin to slightly care about NYCFC. But it did not make local sports news at all. And this is not that long ago. It's 2015, right? I'm like, I have this itch. I want to do soccer. So I kept emailing MLS, like, you guys know all about trying to email MLS. So do I. I'm like,
they still haven't responded to one email from 2015.
you still get it somehow. And I was just like, I want to do soccer. And I'm like, all right, fine. Here's a fun story. There's this coach out in Portland who was a college coaching phenom. He has failed to make the playoffs with his now professional team, the Portland Timbers. And go out there, because then if he gets fired, like, we'll need someone with some live experience, and go have fun. And I think they were like, all right, we'll pacify her and she'll be done.
Right.
Went to Portland for decision day. They could have ended anywhere from like a 2 to a 7 seed, which at the time was in or out.
Yeah.
Before everyone made the playoffs, or half the teams made the playoffs. And they not only didn't get bounced out on decision day, but they went on to an MLS Cup.
In Columbus.
And sometimes it just takes being associated. You got to go and you got to do the work. But sometimes being associated with a moment or a team just helps you, right?
Right.
The stories were telling themselves in Portland, and I was just there to do it. And I kept getting sent back all the way through MLS Cup. Then it solidified me some type of job. And here I am.
Look at that. And then 6 years later in Portland, we are both standing at Providence Park.
That's
when
right.
NYCFC is celebrating
on their field.
The MLS Cup win. So we all have Portland to thank, I guess, right?
Thank you.
for very different reasons between you and I. But that's really dope. And it's interesting because the Cooligans also started in 2015.
This is meant to be. This is so full circle right now.
It's so surreal.
Wait, we're getting some really funny. I love these comments. We're getting some really funny comments. Jillian, yes, they spelt my name Vela on my ring, which was unacceptable, LAFC. And I'm an MLS homegrown reporter. You're right. Yeah.
Okay. So actually, you mentioned the ring, and I want to bring this up because this was one of the things I was going to discuss. Well, there's a lot to cover, everybody. We're obviously going to go over just everything with MLS on Apple TV. And obviously, yeah, you've seen Jillian on there, so we can get a little behind the scenes of what's going on. The energy must be a little bit different now that Apple is involved, without a doubt. Okay, they installed the Genius Bar at the MLS office, so that's I think that's the first noticeable thing.
I go to it every day.
So there's a lot to cover. So if anybody has any questions, any MLS questions, obviously we have our expert here. So feel free to put them in the chat. But we gotta get to this this ring that LAFC sent over to you. So this is I couldn't tell if you were joking. Was it supposed to have your name on it?
No.
Okay.
Never was it ever going to have my name. But I'm happy I delivered that, like, maybe kept people on the brand.
I was just like, man, she has the plug to get some sick jewelry. But no, yeah, we're watching on the screen right now. The MLS Cup championship ring for LAFC is pretty dope.
No, they sent one to us at the studio to look at and to involve in the shows.
You have to send it back?
Yeah, it was taken out of my hand. but it was gorgeous. And you can see there, I am blessed enough to have an Atlanta United championship ring from 2018. Mm-hmm. But I got to say, there's something about black diamonds that are pretty impressive.
It is.
For anyone who's been at the now BMO Stadium, there's like a wallpaper when you're going up the elevators or when you're in the lobbies. That's kind of this like 1920s. Wallpaper, and the ring is so beautiful that even like in the background of the ring, in the black parts, it's not just black, it kind of has like that engraving of that wallpaper. And then it has the supporter shield on one side, the MLS Cup on the other side. They did good. LAFC did very good.
It did look great. I mean, I would have loved it for it to be another NYCFC championship ring, but I wanted to bring this up because this is my mom with her NYCFC championship ring. When I brought it over.
What a G.
She was like, she was so excited to put this ring on. Look, I mean, you can see her modeling in different.
I wish I had done that pose with it.
In different poses.
That looks so much better.
But yeah, my mom absolutely crushed it with her, her championship ring. The also. So a lot of people were asking about this. You see that blue tank thing behind her, which is it happens to be a lot of people related to it, especially from immigrant families, because this is the tank that a lot of Dominicans use, a lot of Caribbeans use to send stuff back to the homeland. And so everybody has these in their home. And you throughout the year, you just sort of fill it with things that otherwise would be too expensive back in Dominican Republic. And and that's what that was. I just wanted to point that out.
I appreciate that because I did not know what that was.
Sure, sure. So, you know, I just...
The gifting box. And then does UPS take those?
It's not UPS. It's like it's just like a guy, you know.
Really?
You know what I mean? I actually don't know what service my mom uses to send stuff, but it's there's like a lot of... especially in neighborhoods that, you know, with a lot of immigrant families and stuff like that, there's just like a store that does this.
Takes the blue bins.
They send somebody to go pick it up. They put it in the truck. And all of a sudden, Nana has her new Nikes or whatever.
Yeah. So, oh, that's genius.
Yeah, yeah. So
love it. Perfect photo.
Okay. So Luke Sergio said, so she sent the ring in the barrel to DR? No, Mom, don't do that. We need that one. Okay, so, all right, let's get started. This is where I want to start first. Obviously, this is week two, MLS on Apple TV. You had a little preseason run as well the week prior. So this is technically the third week of cameras turning on and everybody doing doing their stuff. But what's it been like for someone on staff and on television and doing all this work? Because I'll say as a fan, and I think a lot of fans, the immediate thing everybody noticed was just the attention to detail, the quality, especially the picture quality of the matches themselves are remarkable. But then behind the scenes, what's going on? How are people feeling about everything going on with MLS and Apple TV?
Christian, I'm so happy that you said that because as an MLS person, we feel that. And it doesn't matter if we feel it, it has to come through. So the fact that that's your first impressions is really important to us. And I think the part that I was talking on a Cincinnati podcast last night about this is just really like, we've done this now twice in what's a 10-year deal.
Right.
So if people are satisfied now, I'm really looking forward to when we blow it out of the park and we really surpass our own expectations and fans' expectations and get new fans. Because I think the current fans right now are like, this is the type of content and the type of quality and the beginning of the type of resources that MLS fans have long deserved. Right? Not rushing off the air. I've been part of an ESPN broadcast where we have the best, you know, I'm alongside Taylor Twellman, John Champion, amazing producers, staff, incredible people on all ends. But at the end of the day, there is a college basketball game in Oklahoma that is coming on at 3:00 and we got to get off the air. So it doesn't matter.
We got to cut. It doesn't matter if it's, 93rd minute, 8 minutes stoppage time. Yeah. We got to cut to cornhole.
We must get there. And that Jesus Ferreira just had the game winner. We don't have the 20 seconds to wait for his post-game interview. So that's next. And it's really nice now to have a place where that's not going to happen. And that's not a knock on any of the former broadcast partners. ESPN was there from day one, right? Fox is now currently also a great partner, but it's just having now this new way to make sure you're giving people what they want. I had no idea after night one, the hunger for seeing every single goal was going to be there the next day. I had infinite amounts of tweets of being like, where's MLS wrap up? I'm like, it is 6:00 in the morning.
You are.
But I'm happy. I'm happy we're giving that to
people. The people on TV also become tech support because...
Oh, sure do.
Because everyone is like, in MLS, the community is small. Everyone's fairly accessible. You can just send it...
I'm very accessible.
Most people will kind of respond to you. So it's like, yeah, just sort of... Why can't I log in on my iPhone, Jillian Sakovitz? I mean, you must know.
I get those. And on a very serious note to that point, Apple and MLS has been great in being like, please tell us what people are saying. And then there's a place that I literally screenshot things and send them. And a really serious one that came through the other day was a viewer and an MLS fan who lives being hearing impaired was like, hey, the subtitles have been wrong. So I screenshotted it. And then they tweeted me 2 hours later being like, I don't know what you did, but the subtitles are right. I'm like, well, I didn't do anything more than screenshot it and send
it off.
Take
all the credit,
but people are listening because they want the fans to be happy. And I want the fans to be happy.
Right, right. Yeah, no, it is a, you know, just sort of having a home where the league is just championed and respected, and you know, we've had several people who've worked at ESPN or even SportsCenter anchors who have been like, I have to fight tooth and nail to, you know, it could be a bicycle kick in the 120th minute of a game, and I have to fight tooth and nail with the producers to get this highlight in a top 10 or whatever, and that is, it's nice to not have to have that battle.
That's so true. And you know what? Like, those moments, I think, are still important. It's still important for an ESPN Sports Center to want to include that. But now the nice thing is if they can't or they don't want to, there's still a home for people to go see it. And, right. And I really like that. And I'm pumped for what's to come, because I walk in there and I'm like, I can't believe that this is our new life. It's so exciting.
Okay. I don't know what the context of this is, but Mike Thomas is a Union fan. He just said, MLS wrap-up crew versus the MLS review crew fight to the death. Who is winning between the two? I don't know. It's a strange demand for
like
content
that
on the show.
I like that you watch both, Mike. Thank you.
Okay, but I don't know if this is going to be, what, is this the undercard for a UFC bout? But, I mean, you know, it would be entertaining.
We're getting on a pregame
show. And whoever the review crew is, I fully support them.
Okay.
But there is MLS review.
Okay, so there's a couple of things I want to get to, especially the, obviously, this week two, St. Louis City had their home opener, and it was entertaining to say the least. They've been a very entertaining team. I had asked David Goss about Lutz Fanninstein. You've interviewed.
Fascinating man.
I tell people all the time, what was your feeling just getting to know him, talking to him? Because I'll share mine, but I want to hear yours first.
So at first I wasn't sure.
Okay.
I was like, I'm kind of getting mad scientist meets like soccer expert vibes. But then I realized he might be like a Darren Eales 2.0.
Oh, okay.
That he kind of seemed to enjoy the fans and the camera a little bit. And he loves a cliffhanger. And we need more of that in MLS.
Yeah, he's a good storyteller.
Yeah, but then he like would, you know, we'd ask about a big signing and he'd love to give a little clue, which, as we all know, Darren Eales, former president of Atlanta United, would like send out cryptic tweets. And listen, I don't know if it'd fly in the NFL, but like it flies in MLS. And I think Lutz has it in him. So I'm very impressed and I'm all for some kind of like cliffhangery, like snazzy front office people.
Yeah, like there's a thing I think in when it comes to MLS front offices that we're not used to characters. You know, we're not used to them getting some of the limelight, right?
Sure. And in any sport, it's not normal.
It is not, but there's something to people caring about a club where they're like, they know who the groundsman is or whatever. You know what I mean? Like there's an attention to detail and appreciation for everybody that is contributing to the growth of the club. But Lutz Fanninstein is a fascinating man. I always tell people, go listen to our interview with him. We did an interview with him at MLS All-Star.
Oh, great.
And he's just the strangest, most fascinating, most brilliant man. And he's had, you know, he's the guy who he's played at in every continent or something, or every confederation.
Yeah. Per his Twitter bio, I think, where I read that. I'm being serious.
Twitter bio, Tinder bio, it's everywhere, bro. The guy's absolutely fascinating. But what was your, I don't know if you heard any feedback or anything, but just about what St. Louis is doing, because obviously they sold out. I think a lot of times when the expansion sides get announced, there's a little bit of like, is it going to work there? And it's clearly working there.
Soccer
on and off
City,
the pitch.
USA. On the real, though, I think that the idea of is this MLS expansion market going to work is like almost the last era of MLS expansion teams.
Okay.
And I hate to use this example, but it's just the truth. Atlanta United in 2017 changed that because I went to the expansion draft, unaffiliated with Atlanta United.
Must have been riveting.
I was sent to Minnesota.
Okay.
And I'm a Minnesota Vikings fan. Okay. So, like, I love the Minnesota Nice. I love the hardworking. Like, they say the blue collars of Philly. Like, that's also, like, the blue collars.
Very nice. But look, this, yeah. I'm trying this.
It's my favorite thing.
Dark clouds, but this is they sent a scarf for my baby that's on the way. It's a little tiny scarf.
See, this is what I'm talking about.
This is the Minnesota we're talking about.
I'm gonna get to my St. Louis point with this story.
Yeah.
That Minnesota United was about 15, their headquarters at the time was about 15 minutes outside of downtown. And it was the entire front office on a folding table in a random plaza off of a highway.
Okay.
And a whiteboard. And that was like their expansion draft.
Right.
Susanna Collins, my colleague, got sent to Atlanta. And she is at a mahogany room in Arthur Blank's basement.
She's in Magic City.
Swords. I really want to go there.
it's a
for MLS content.
Only. Yeah, of course. I mean, MLS Cup went there. Why can't we, you know?
Knights of the Round Table, swords engraved in like mahogany, and like Carlos Bocanegra, Arthur Blank, Tata Martino are like all in matching suits. And I'm like, what is going on here? Like, can't we just be like Minnesota and like we're trying to start this team? Can't we look like a damn startup? I'm like, Suze, what the heck? And like, I feel like in that moment, I was like, all right, with your expand. And then after that, it was just like, no, like, that is no knock on Minnesota. Like, that's how all new things look.
Right.
And Atlanta was like, nah.
Yeah.
And then they opened Mercedes-Benz Stadium. They win a championship in their second year. Joseph Martinez shatters every record that year on planet Earth. And then I feel like after that, it kind of became unacceptable to not start off really great. And think about the teams after, like Nashville, Charlotte. Sure, like maybe Charlotte hasn't like, but the fandom, like so much about Charlotte has been great. And then, you know, like Miami had their scuffles, but like, still, like, Miami has been good. They weren't great at the beginning. They had issues. But now I feel like it has to be, it's like you have to be St. Louis or bust. And you go all the way back to, like, 1950. The team that beat England in the World Cup was, like, half that roster was, like, from St. Louis.
Right, right,
and
yeah.
you're like, oh, this is so embedded. And you look at all the coaches, like, I was reading up about Cincinnati the other night. And I was like, oh, Pat Noonan's from St. Louis. Like, Taylor Twellman, as we all know, is from St. Louis. Like, yes,
he screams it at the camera every opportunity he gets.
Yes, I was there for that. But I'm saying that, like, what St. Louis showed us is now the only way you can become an expansion team. It's almost like if you are St. Louis.
Right. So the bar is has been raised without a doubt. And Atlanta was a clear example of that.
And LAFC followed. They're like, "Oh, we can't be crap. We have to be
sure."
Good.
Yeah, wasn't that I don't know the exact detail of where the story came from, but about like the some of the legacy clubs are going to be kind of reassessed to make sure that they're meeting certain standards and stuff like that. And I get like optically what the intention of a statement like that is, but realistically, it's like, hey, look, Apple's here. All right. Everything is like very nice and shiny. We can't be looking, you know, we can't be looking drab out here in 4K. All right. This is the pressure is simply there's going to be more eyes on us. We're trying to put out a really, really fun and exciting product that we don't want young people to judge us and think that we're not cool. So there is a little bit of like, hey, everybody kind of get on board. We see what, St. Louis is doing. Filling the stadium, doing all this other stuff, but just like making everything look cool and kind of. Just give a nice youthful vibe to everything. So I support it, and I support everything with St. Louis. Even the players are playing tremendously. The only thing I would suggest is for opposing teams to not pass them the ball and just give them a very, very easy opportunities at goals. But I don't know if I'm asking for too much.
You might be. There was an image. I don't know if you saw it. I'm trying to find it right now. With St. Louis City and a baby in a beer shower. Did anyone?
Yes, here it is. I did see it.
Tyler Snipes put it out. That's where I saw it.
Okay.
And it was incredible.
Let me see if I can find it, but yeah.
Oh, type in Snipes. S-N-I-P-E-S.
S-N-I-P-E-S.
Yeah. Tyler. Then Tyler.
Okay.
Yes.
There it is.
He put it out. It was amazing. And I was like, I think this is, for me, this is the image of 2023. Bro,
this is the best.
Yeah. I don't know if it's safe. If that's the still image of it. Maybe that'll be your child. Maybe that'll be your future child at the next expand, at team number 30. But okay, the video version
I'll
like
hold the sonogram up for now.
There are drops. There are drops of beer everywhere, and this baby is fully beyond the drops. It's so great.
This is a legendary baby. This baby will be the mayor of St. Louis in a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. But no,
it's like Simba and the Lion King. I think he now owns.
I love this. Ben Skolnick in the chat says that baby was showered in refreshing Coors Light.
Oh my gosh! You know what happened? You know how Will Ferrell said in his pregame interview with LAFC that he's going to bring the MLS Cup and baptize babies in it?
Yes.
This kind of was that.
Okay. Just as long as the baby's not drinking it. We don't want to get anybody in trouble. You can bathe in it. Do not drink a sip of it, baby. Do not even think about it. So I was genuinely impressed with everything, and even they also playing really well. They played and against Austin. Obviously, they got the one goal that was it was a debacle, but it is what it is. Klaus, I think the pick was Giacchini picked up in the expansion draft.
I believe so, but I'm learning St. Louis's roster. I'll be honest with you, like, kind of look at it, and because you didn't expect it to be great, you like all right, I'll figure this team out. But you mentioned the own goal. They're the first expansion team to ever score three goals in their first two games.
Right.
Like, and you didn't just beat Austin. Like, oh, you won your first game. That's so cute. You beat a team that many say could win MLS Cup this year at their place.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
they have had a damn good start.
It's the Fannin Steel effect, dude. that's the only thing that makes sense. I mean, I mentioned this to Goss as well, but I had met Lutz Fannin Steel in Germany. I went to Alexis and I. We went to on a Bundesliga trip to Dusseldorf when he was the sporting director there, and even meeting him there, I was like, This guy's an interesting man. Why have I never heard of this guy?
You knew about him before MLS knew about him.
I'm a day one, bro. I'm a fan.
I think that's the best way to go.
I'm
with
trying
it.
To think of how to be a how do you be a stand and steal.
That's it.
That's the one. We got it.
There it is. Okay. That's why I get paid the big bucks, everybody. We got a super chat that says, Omar Ramirez says, does Apple TV have U.S. National Team TV and Leagues Cup rights? I already answered that. No, they do not. They only have, do they have Leagues Cup as well?
Leagues Cup, yes.
Yes. Okay. And rights to the 2026 World Cup and Copa America. If it does,
I believe we all know that the 2026 World Cup is on Fox.
It's
right?
Still
that's a thing.
Yeah, it is still Fox. Without that, okay. If it does, would that change how the world sees American commitment to soccer? I don't. Oh, okay, we can kind of have this general question because I think this is the beginning of something very, very unique. I think in just world sports,
absolutely,
to have a streaming service be the be the home for one league, right? I mean, there hasn't really been anything like this before.
No, they are, when it comes to this, like, they are the first. And the part that's so interesting to me is we always had to report to MLS in a way, right? But now it's like, this is MLS and Apple. Mm-hmm. So the league that is being covered is also the league that is producing the content.
Right.
And that's new and it's unique. And for me, it's just a matter of what league is going to do this next. And credit to MLS that, like, they will go down for being the first, because this is the wave of the future. I don't know who will be next to do it, but this is it.
I wonder if it's a thing where, and I'm sure there's tons of research done before these decisions are made, because I think a lot of times we're also generally used to watching games on our regional network that we've sort of grown up with, and we have the announcers we grew up with, and it's just things are becoming a little bit more global, and the world is starting to feel a little bit smaller. So I think that that approach, while it might have been the most beneficial, I think even maybe financially, kind of negotiating that with your in the local market and then figuring out the national deal, maybe it's just now there's just one place, and you go there and you watch everything, and there's pros and cons to pretty much whatever you decide and what direction you go in. But this, look, I and as a MLS, you know, I'm gonna, it doesn't matter where MLS is being displayed, I'm gonna go watch it. But this definitely feels like one of the best viewing experiences. And then also, I think probably my favorite decision that I was not necessarily skeptical of, but the kickoff times, all that, like all the games on the same day, all similar.
You and me both.
I was like, oh man, this is kind of, I was thinking mostly because of like my stand-up schedule. I'm like, oh, my Saturdays are going to be like whatever. And a lot of people kind of said this as well, that they liked the different kickoff times because, you know, they could, it would work around their schedules. But this, the last two weekends, the last two Saturdays especially, have been this like appointment television that we're not really used to. Mm-hmm. And it's like, everybody is watching the same thing. I can tweet and I can look at my timeline. And everybody's talking about these games
it's,
at the same time.
Us putting our big boy pants on. You know, you look at the NFL and you're like, that has been the model forever. Everyone is going to talk about the Seahawks game when it's going on, which is Monday night, Sunday, or Thursday night football. And this was important for MLS because I and you consume more MLS than 99% of the population.
Right.
And at the end of the day, while we are all great, we need people that are watching it the way people watch the NFL. And it's going to get there. And that's what soccer's future is. However, there were 63 different start times last year. And I even missed some. I would be like, Portland played last night? Tuesday? What? At 10:30 on FS2?
Yeah, it ended at 2 a.m. Eastern.
No! I am all for these start times. I am all for these days. And I know it's all going to get some, take some getting used to.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, like, we can't, MLS cannot be built just for the diehards. And I think with MLS Season Pass, there's so much. There's only the beginning of what is going to be out there. You know, clubs are really going to be able to do whatever they want. And there's going to be so much for the diehards. But it also just needs to be easily accessible to the average person as soccer becomes the mainstream sport in the U.S.
That's it. You heard it here first. Jillian Sakovic. Soccer. That's it. We'll be the predominant.
Oh, wait. I have a gift for you and your baby.
Whoa!
Well, I was hoping that... I haven't seen baby versions yet.
Okay.
Oh.
But this is a baby gift for you.
Okay.
I want to make that very clear. This is for your firstborn, but it's not that small.
No, no. My only hope is that
they could go in it.
My hope is that the baby's head is not this size when it's leaving my
big
wife.
Big heads are fine. Big heads are cute.
All right, look at this. Rocking the season pass hat.
I've never
rocked a hat for a subscription service. All right, I feel pretty cool.
I love that. Look at this. Look. You can't have a better jersey than the Grant Wall tribute kit.
Let's go.
And you can't have a better hat. And I have to tell you, our producer, Chris Yip, was wearing this jersey the day before our launch day. And he said he wore it because he wanted to know what Grant would have been thinking. And I was like, oh, if you want someone who was going to really tell us what he was thinking and, though, support us, it was Grant Wall. So it was really bittersweet that launching week. I just want to throw that out there that, like, we were all thinking about him so much of being like, he would hold us accountable.
Totally.
And he'd also, though, promote the heck out of us, which is what I think, like, it's irreplaceable. But we were all thinking a lot about Grant.
Yeah. And it was great to see all the pictures of him at all the different MLS stadiums.
And still, like, I saw, just happened to be in the background when Taylor Twellman was setting up his shot, or someone else was setting up Taylor Twellman's shot at City Park.
I was just, Taylor's a gaffer, and like, I was just.
No, he's not doing that quite.
Just in the lights.
And I just happened to see the press box at City Park in St. Louis, and I happened to see still like that all the clubs are doing it, that there was a picture of Grant Flowers like at a spot in the press box, and it's a nice little reminder.
Beautiful. I love that. Yeah. I'm also getting roasted in the chat. Omar says, Christian Woods, is that you? Okay. So I'm looking, I look like Tiger Woods when I wear this hat.
You do kind of. I like his other comments. You just need a red polo.
Definitely giving off the Rob Lowe NFL hat.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm here for it. Okay. I just want everybody to have a good time. Okay?
I want to throw out there that this isn't like official merch. This was put out on the conference room table in the basement of 106 and Park, and I happened to snag two. And then today, as I was leaving my house, I was like, you know what? I got to give this to Christian
Thank
Polanco.
Thank you so much.
Also, Alexis Guerreros, I just want to say, we meet up about once a year. We do a Friendsgiving, mm-hmm. I think since really the beginning of time.
Right.
And who doesn't show? Alexis didn't show.
He's currently not available for the.
Well, that's why he doesn't get a gift.
So, yeah, okay. Well, I hope he learned his lesson. Somebody said I look like a sellout. Whatever, I don't care. Somebody said Luke Sergio said Christian looks like he's coaching his kids' rec league team. Bro, okay, look, is that how it happens? You turn into a dad like overnight? Is it just all it takes is one hat with a curved brim?
Yeah.
You have the Pretty dad sure. aura now.
I have what?
The aura, the dad aura.
I had that aura. Okay.
And producer Mike, if I had more than one, I would have given it
it's
to
okay.
you.
It's okay.
I thought about you. I'm
all good.
Guy.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
No. Only the dads get a hat. Don't you better have a child immediately if you want one. okay, I want to make sure I let people know because we're already having a great time. And, you know, it's Apple TV is crushing it. Jillian Sackovitz is crushing it, but sometimes you need some time to relax. You don't always have to be on, and that's why today's show is brought to you by Coors Light, everybody. Okay, it is the best thing about Coors Light, especially Jillian, you know this, because when the beer is cold enough, you know what happens. You know what happens, Jillian. The mountains show up.
Yep.
On the beer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
right on the bottle.
That's really yeah, and then I know that. It's going to be a great, great night ahead. I actually thought that this was, that the mountains were, because I have Coors Light in my coffee cup right now, and I thought that the mountains were going to show up.
Okay.
But they haven't quite yet. But
I see. That's why the show has been progressively just getting more loose and fun. Okay. So we appreciate it. So that's why we always tell people the mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when the beer is cold. That way you always know it's time to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's literally made to chill. So mark your calendar for some quality time with Coors Light, the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Let's go. Look at that. We don't even rehearse these anymore because we know we're going to just crush them every time. So thank you, Jillian, for participating
You're
in
welcome.
That. I want to do something fun right now, real quick, before we get to what you just reacted to on the screen. Apologies.
Giorgio Chiellini.
We'll talk about
I love to talk about him.
We'll talk about Chiellini in a little bit, but we're trying something for the first time today. So especially since we've both started in soccer in 2015, we sort of came up together, which is like you don't even think about it necessarily. But we've I think for us, because we didn't start working in MLS, we had to, bust the door down. So it was a little bit of a different trajectory.
Sure.
But we've worked in soccer and we've interviewed a lot of people. And this has been really kind of fun when you look back at some of the athletes that we've interviewed. So I wanted to do something fun. We wanted to do something new here at the Cooligans podcast. We are going to do, for the first time, a five-a-side.
Woo!
And the teams are built of MLS players that we've interviewed.
Okay.
So my five versus your five. Mm. So do you want? I don't know if we were going to do a poll in the chat. If you can do it, handle it. I don't know, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes, Mike. All right. So we got. Let's get this going, all right?
P.S. I just want to say I kept mind of who I had interviewed on my podcast, The Call Up, But in general.
In general. You can make some changes if you need to.
Oh, no. But I do have an honorary. But I have an honorable mention.
Right. Technically, all of these have all these interviews.
You, Carlos Vela spoke to you?
Carlos Vela.
He responded?
100%. This was great. Okay. So let's get going. I'll read this off for our audio listeners. So at Striker, we got Landon Donovan. Landon Donovan was one of the most, I mean, he's a legendary, obviously, player in American soccer history. But talking to him also because he played for Everton, it was one of my favorite interviews. But he's up top. Midfield, Carlos Vela. Okay, and David Beckham. So this is already wild that I've interviewed these people. All legends, right?
Totally.
And then defender, we got Jimmy Conrad. Okay, when it comes to when you need somebody to put in a strong tackle against Lionel Messi in a friendly, because everybody knows roll the tape. That's Jimmy Conrad's thing. And if you need a good interview guest for your podcast, Jimmy Conrad is your guy. Now at goalkeeper, we got Tim Howard. Tim Howard did the show.
Fellow Hungarian Tim Howard.
Is Tim Howard Hungarian?
Half Hungarian.
I did not know this.
Yep.
I thought he was just Jersey through and through.
No, nope, half Hungarian. His mom.
Okay.
Me and him.
Fascinating. And then as a coach, the coach of this team has to be Jim Curtin.
Jimmy Stick.
Jim Curtin, the homie, a great interview. Always, he's a great podcast
guest.
Who,
by the way, has been unleashed as of late. He has been wild.
Without a doubt. He is
here for it.
He is in his bag, as they say. You know, he is simply saying, look, I'm the Philadelphia. My work speaks for itself. Mm. That's how he is carrying himself. And even he made the comment about how he feels Ted Lasso has hurt the American sort of perception of managers and stuff like that, which I don't 100% agree with. It's a nice show. I have friends who write on it, but
wow.
Anyway, but I understand. I mean, it is what it is. He's totally entitled to his opinion. So that is my five aside of MLS players that I've interviewed.
I don't think anyone thinks a lot about American soccer. I don't think that people think a lot about truly American soccer and Ted Lasso. Like, I think Ted Lasso is just a fun show to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But I think because Jimmy C is so ingrained in soccer,
right.
He's just thinking about it really deep, which I'm fine with. But I don't think it hurt.
Hard-edged dude. I mean, I respect that. Look, he's coach of the year. I'm going to let him allow, him to have his opinion. Okay. So this is Jillian. I'm going to show Jillian's list right now.
Oh, good, because I don't remember it.
So this is a surprise to me. I do not know what her list is going to be. So let's see what Jillian's five aside of guests is. Okay.
Oh, this is good.
Okay.
This is really good.
I'm a little bit... Okay. There's some intimidation factors here. I see it. Okay. Up top, do you want to read it?
Sure. I'll take you through it. So mine really didn't have a lot to do with their play on the field. More interviews that I enjoyed.
Okay. That's fair.
And I'm going to start with the front. I'm going to start with up top. Javier Chicharito Hernandez.
Who I've also interviewed. And he's the best.
Yeah.
He's a great guy. Yeah.
You know, kind of the opposite of what you get in my request so far with, what's the word? Being collaborative with Carlos Vela. Like, Chicharito was very collaborative with us. It was fun and it was light. And he talked to us about how being into fashion now has kind of like been a mental health exercise for him, of like, if you look good, you feel good. And I wanted to focus on that. And it was just so real. And we were really in our feelings. And we were sitting out on the field in some like director's chairs. And it was just so real. So I appreciated that.
Chicharito, I said this to him as well when I interviewed him. I appreciated he's a vulnerable person.
I like
and,
that.
And there aren't many professional athletes that are comfortable showing that side of themselves on public platforms. Even on Twitch. I don't know if you ever watch him on Twitch. He's great there. He connects.
Yeah, I mean, he announces his own injury timelines as well on Twitch, which made his manager, Greg Manny, not so happy. But that's certainly vulnerable.
Okay.
Someone else who was vulnerable with us at All-Star 2022 in Minnesota was Sebastian Driussi.
Okay.
We were doing like a live kind of like Super Bowl row kind of show on the call-up. And Sebastian Driussi, no habla inglés.
Okay.
I think in life he does, but not, you know, in front of the cameras.
It's a bit more challenging, yeah.
Scary thing. And he just happened to walk by with his comms guy, Ryan Madden, at Austin. And Ryan, being one of the best, was like, "You want to go over there and talk to those two girls?" And he's like, "See." So he came over. He was not scheduled. And he sat there. I think I screamed like, "Hola, ¿cómo estás? Felicidades, hola, hola, hola," in his face. And he was just like, cool as a cucumber. He sat there and he took our barrage and then he left. But I appreciated that he was putting himself in the gauntlet.
Yeah.
And he just came and sat there and he made an appearance on our show. And it was honestly like our favorite appearance. So that's why Sebastian Driussi is on mine. Also, because he was a front runner for like league MVP.
Yeah, yeah. He happens to be pretty good on the pitch as well.
Alexi Lawless is in it for the sole reason that he has given me one of my favorite moments on our podcast, The Call Up, which was Flawless or Lawless.
That's a Stugatz special right there. Stugatz came up with that one.
We didn't know how he would take this because we showed him looks that obviously he was proud of at one point. Maybe like the one you see right there.
Right.
And was just like flawless or lawless. And, you know, flawless means that it's great. And lawless means like it's against the law. Throw it out. Mm-hmm. And he played along. And you thought we got into fashion with Chicharito. We got into it with Alexi. And I'll tell you this about Alexi. I know he entertains.
Oh, yeah.
But
angers, infuriates. He does it all.
He is a guy who is also, though, incredibly responsible and supportive of the whole MLS community. Just a couple times throughout my career, he's just shot a note when he doesn't need to, being like, good luck today. So, like, Alexi really does support other MLSers. And sometimes people can be very competitive, and Alexi's not one of them.
No, and look, it's difficult. I don't know if you are ever in this situation as well, but sometimes it is difficult to defend Alexi and his decisions, what he tweets and certain things, because there's plenty of things I don't agree with Alexi Lalas on. So he'll tweet out some like nonsense, or it's like annoying, or it's kind of there to rile people up. And then I get messages when, my wife and I announced we were having a kid. I get a very sweet message from Alexi. When my father passed away, I get a very nice message from Alexi. It's just like, it's like I hate that he's so nice and he's a very, very kind person in almost every facet of his life outside of Twitter.
Yeah. Screw social media. Then I also have Miles Robinson because I've loved watching him come up. I feel like a proud mama. Super draft pick at Atlanta United. Should have been a center back. Should have been a defender for the U.S. men's national team had he not been robbed with that injury.
Right.
So I am just so here for kind of like the comeback season of Miles Robinson. And when we've talked to him, he literally should be like a surfer. He's like, it's all love, man. It's all love. And it's just not what you expect from a defender. When you think of a defender, you think of like Giorgio Chiellini, who I always think of just with a bandage on his head. And when I found out he was coming to MLS, I was so excited, because you think about all those big Juventus moments of like blood, bandage, and then, you know, this is a man that captained Italy to a European championship like 20 months ago.
Right.
And he says, I'm going to come to LAFC because I want to win more trophies. Gets there in the summer, and then he wins a supporter shield, a Western Conference Championship trophy, an MLS Cup. And I'm like, huh.
Yeah.
You kind of did that. And the guy's got like a business degree, maybe it's like an MBA. He talked to us when we had him on the podcast about how good the Apple deal was going to be. And this was like 9 months ago. I'm like,
he has charts and graphs.
Do the players ever know what's going on with anything? And then we did like some silly little game with him about like, all right, where's the better drivers, Italy or the U.S., that kind of thing. And we said, all right, who has the better food? And he goes, I love the tacos. And I was like, what? Giorgio Chiellini loves tacos. Loves tacos much.
It's a good, he picked the right team, you know?
Yeah. And Phil Neville is up there for me. And I would not have said this at this time last year because I didn't know him well.
Mm-hmm.
But he gave us great value when we talked to him. And the Neville family in England, like having this kind of Ted Lasso-y team in Barry, where his mom, his dad, his brothers, his sister, his grandmother, I think it was, or aunt, like made the food that was like given in the sponsor suite. Like they ran like a lower division team.
Oh, wow.
The whole Neville family. And it's like, it's a great story. And his mom, Jill, was like the team, like president. Like it's a great, great story. And he told us this and his value just went way up. All right,
look, that's the
way up.
The biggest surprise on this list would be the coach that you selected. But I'm impressed. And look, and they have two wins in the season already. So
wait, what is this? Wow, kind of wild that Atlanta is the furthest north that Jillian has been.
I don't get that.
Is that a joke?
Oh, meaning that the players that you selected, like the furthest north MLS team is. That's just a coincidence.
Alexi's further north.
I guess. I mean, Alexi lives in.
Oh yeah, California.
In California. I don't
Anywho,
know.
Anyway. That's my five.
Okay, my five against her five. You can see it on the screen. People can vote here.
Got the poll up in YouTube. We're going to post the Twitter poll after the show as well.
So okay. All right. So what are the numbers looking like now?
It's early. It's early. We've only got 26 votes, but so far Christian is leading 65% to 35%.
Ooh. Okay.
That's hurtful.
It's early. There's still plenty of time.
That's hurtful.
Okay.
Let me ask though, if you guys could only pick from each of your teams best interview, who would you say?
Oh, best interview just from the...
Just from interview, not like playing career, like Starstruck, whatever, just in terms of who gave you the best interview if you could only pick one.
Hmm.
From our list. Phil Neville.
Really?
You're talking in, like, when you talk to Phil Neville, you're talking to him about real life stories with David Beckham, real life stories right. with Sir Alex Ferguson. Like, it's insane.
This is tough for me. It's... My instinct is to say it probably has to be Carlos Vela here because...
I love that.
Mainly because I was expecting a, like, kind of closed-off guy. You know, he doesn't really do that many interviews. He doesn't seem to be that interested in doing them mm-hmm. either. And we were actually interviewing Chicharito when Carlos Vela arrived in the interview. And he kind of just... jumped in on this interview, and then for probably about...
I remember this now.
Yeah,
and they gave you... Yeah, that was great.
And for like 6-7 minutes, it was both of them, and we're interviewing both of them at the same time, and they're both laughing. There was an MLS photographer that was taking photos, and we got these unbelievable photos of like us making Carlos Vela and Chicharito laugh like uncontrollably. They like... It was like, you know, the front row of a comedy club or something like that. And we're just like absolutely cracking them up. So in this list, that moment of Chicharito and Carlos Vela laughing at the same time and joking even amongst each other. I think a lot of people don't really get to see stuff like that.
Let's
often.
Resurface it. And also though, credit to you, Christian, and to Alexis of like, that's where your value is you know how to disarm people right away. The two of you with your bilingualness, like that makes the players, that is a game changer for the players. And the fact that the two of you bring that and are able to have, I've never seen a moment like that in MLS with Chicharito and Carlos Vela. And that's credit to you guys, 100%. 110%.
There it is. Okay. We invite guests on this show to co-host that are going to compliment me as the best to the best of their ability, and that was
I'm trying.
That was a solid one.
No, thank and you. I mean that 100%.
So thank you so much. Okay, so we'll keep an eye on the poll and see if anything changes. But you know what? I think my team is pretty strong this year. Okay. All right. Let's talk about LAFC for a bit because LAFC did win their game. They just won their game 3-2. Who they played again? Why am I forgetting who they played?
Portland.
Portland, yes. But Giorgio Chiellini gets his first goal in Major League
Some
Soccer.
Some are saying it wasn't a goal, but I think that's completely irrelevant.
Some are saying, like the MLS season pass rules analyst Christina Uncle on Apple TV, who was clearly a professional referee and kind of knows her stuff. But, you know, Christina is out here just ruining the vibes, all right? We don't need rules when Giorgio Chiellini scores his first goal in MLS.
No. I was waiting for it all last year, and it finally came, and no one is going to take that. Or from Georgia.
Okay, yeah.
He has quickly risen
Maybe that goal didn't... look, Kellen Acosta was probably offside in the buildup. Sure.
Details.
Whatever. Like
minor details.
The main thing was, but LAFC did get, a goal taken from them. There was the Hollingshead goal. They called a foul in the build up to that, and which I thought was kind of ridiculous. But so that's why I'm fine with Giorgio Chiellini scoring. But this, we have the tweet pulled up from Opta Jack, and it says at 38 years, 202 days old, Giorgio Chiellini is the fifth oldest player to score an MLS goal and the oldest at the time of his first legal seniority. So, I mean, my question to you, Julian Sackbits.
Who the heck are the other people?
I mean, I am curious about that. But then also, how are you going to defend the claims against this retirement league, Jillian, that this old man is scoring a goal? What do you say to that, to those detractors?
He didn't score last year. The man's allowed to average one a year.
I think so. I think that's fine. I'm being very facetious.
Also, he's Giorgio Chiellini. I love this guy. I love everything about him. I loved him at Juve. He is everything that I would want to be.
Okay.
Honestly, if I was a professional athlete. And I'll tell you this. You know, we're talking about like the mystique around Vela at times. And I think that's kind of him maybe also like holding on to his own expectations of what he thinks should be his media expectations.
Sure.
Which one thing I can tell you from working at clubs and things, players, we have our own expectations as Americans. Players who come from other countries, that's not always clear when they like sign up. And then all of a sudden they get here and it's like, oh, and here's how we do it. And they're kind of like, so I think players kind of choose their spots to also like keep what's sacred to them. And it's no disrespect to the fans, but I can tell you as a sideline reporter, it feels pretty disrespectful in the moment when someone doesn't want to talk to you because you're like, listen, I grew up watching the NFL, right? And after an AFC or NFC championship game, you're Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, whoever, they're coming to talk.
Right.
So I'll tell you this, when we did LAFC, it wasn't as easy to when they won the Western Conference Championship. They're about to host MLS Cup for the first time in franchise history. You know? And who agrees to do the interview? Giorgio Chiellini.
Amazing.
And you're like, this guy just got here. He's the defender. I think he came out in that game at halftime. I'm kind of looking for the captain. I'm kind of looking for the goal scorers, and yet it's Chiellini. Like, that's the kind of guy he is. He didn't need to do that interview, but he did, and he was great with it. And he's coming from a totally different cultural standpoint in Serie A. So I am all for Chiellini.
He's great, yeah. And I never heard Chiellini do an interview, or especially not in English. And then when they did it was the Juve All or Nothing, right? Where Weston McKennie was putting ranch on food.
Amazing.
And Chiellini was completely disgusted. But as soon as I saw...
I'm surprised he came to the United States after witnessing that.
Weston could have ruined it, right? But once I saw that, and he was sort of just like, judging Weston, which is 100% justified... Yes. I was like, oh, this guy there's a certain level of class to him.
He's smart. He's a student of the game. And then, like I said, he's into literally like studying. He understood why financially the Apple deal like made sense before we barely even knew it was a deal. I love Chiellini. I love everything about him. And he loves the taco.
Amazing. Ben Skolnick said, Giorgio has been on point from the jump, started over Aaron Long. Yeah, it's an interesting thing because Aaron Long did end up getting into this game. But that was also a big move for Aaron Long to not re-sign with Red Bulls and go to LAFC. But I don't, is it... I don't know if it's a... I don't think it was a bad move by any means, because Chiellini is obviously not going to be there too much longer, you would assume.
And I don't know how much he has, like, starting abilities.
Exactly.
And game in and game out abilities.
Yeah, but you would imagine Long, by the end of the season, Long should have played more game, definitely have more starts than Chiellini, I would assume, but we'll see what happens. Another big move in MLS, speaking of people... being aware of the growth of MLS and everything going on. Nashville SC has some new owners. I love the tweet here from Nashville SC. It says, that's right, we got the Antetokounmpros.
I didn't even catch that. That's clever.
But this is really cool. And this is not the first time we've seen NBA players get involved in Major League Soccer. But what was your first thoughts when you saw this?
You know, exactly that this isn't the first time we've seen NBA players. It's not the first time we've seen celebrity ownership, partial stakeholder owners. Very, very cool. You've got a ton of guys in, Kevin Durant, James Harden was linked at one point. Reese Witherspoon is linked with Nashville SC. But the one thing I can say is I think that the Antetokounmpo brothers are not just the next celebrity ownership to own 0.001% of a team. I think what's great about them is, if you've ever watched their or read about their story, is the Antetokounmpos are what most people love about soccer. They are what makes soccer great. You know, they bridge Africa with Europe, with the United States, with all three, playing in the NBA. And I covered Thanasis when he played for the New York Knicks and the Westchester Knicks. And they are the most likable guys ever. 100%. Giannis is the best NBA player on the planet right now. He is, without a doubt. And this is a guy that his parents struggled to get from Nigeria to Greece. Then they lived in an apartment where all the brothers had to sleep on one mattress. They shared a pair of shoes to then be able to play.
These guys are
DVDs.
They're all 9 feet tall.
DVDs when not at school, and yet still were able to get to this point. And it is just like, it's that type of story that we often love in soccer, and it's an NBA story. And I love that it's here in MLS. And I hope that that Giannis can take a little bit more of, like, I hope he's around. Like, I don't know how often he can get from Milwaukee to Nashville, but I want him to be around, because I think his ability to bring in other types of people from other parts of the world is so good for MLS. This isn't just a guy putting his name on something. Like, this is Giannis.
Yeah. Did you see him on Daily Show?
Yes.
Recently, where he did a segment with Hassan Minhaj about roasting other NBA players. The guy couldn't get through it. He couldn't genuinely be mean to any of his players. He made a joke about LeBron, and then he's like, LeBron, no, I'm sorry, you're the greatest, you're the GOAT, I can't. And it's just,
he's so humble and so likable.
Such a kindness to him that's so incredibly genuine. So it's great to see. I mean, there's a couple of people already mentioning in the chat some of the other owners in the league.
Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson, obviously, is with Sounders. Kevin Durant with the Philadelphia Union. Where am I forgetting his name? The quarterback for the Chiefs.
Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, yeah. Mahomes in Kansas City Current and Sporting Kansas City.
Yes.
I think what's exciting to me about this, that it brings a level of, especially to younger people, there's a familiarity of, like, I can get into soccer. Look, Giannis, my favorite player, owns a team. Let me at least, like, take a look at this. And just simply for the fact that you're seeing, I think, athletes of other sports seeing that, realistically, soccer is the only, it's like the only, not the only sport in the country, but one of the sports in the country that has, there is room for growth, where there's, like, they can see that they're not even close to the peak. And the fact that these NBA superstars and NFL superstars and just other athletes, and we've seen, Angel City as well. The fact that people are seeing that now, I think, is just such a good sign and such a good foundation for what the next decade of soccer in this country is going to look like.
Yeah, I'm all for it. And I'm interested to see, because of the Antetokounmpos, where a Nashville SC jersey pops
up.
Okay. Who do you think is going to get to interview Giannis first? You or?
Definitely you guys.
Okay. All right. You heard it here first.
So I'm on it.
If they reach out to you, you got to say no. Because I promised the Cooligans.
That's fair. That's fair. That's totally fair.
Okay. I know Giannis is a big Arsenal fan as well. I don't know if you ever heard him talk about Arsenal.
All right. All right. I just want to talk about Nashville.
Okay. The other thing I want to get to, because somebody in Robin Zaghini in the chat, she just said Messi could own MLS if he wanted to, which is a lot he could own if he wanted to. But Don Garber did an interview recently in The Athletic. That was great, that I highly recommend everyone check out, because he answered a lot of questions just about the future of the league and you know, potential of a $500 million expansion fee for new teams, which is just mind-boggling, but it's just so wild.
Oh, my God, I'm in the background there.
Oh, my God. Look,
wow, now I've really made it. I hope I wasn't embarrassing myself. If Don looks like he's paying attention, too.
And also because of the people you are listening to this, they don't see it. It's a photo of Don Garber in Bank of California Stadium, when it was Bank of California Stadium. And then it says on the big board, it says versus
Jillian.
And then it's a picture of Jillian and Susanna.
Wow.
Which is like, well, somebody was talking about, you know, the MLS wrap-up and review crew fight. Maybe this was the beginning of it. Anyway, one of the things that was discussed in this interview is the potential of Lionel Messi possibly coming to Major League Soccer and obviously going to Inter Miami.
Oh, he's coming.
Okay.
You heard it here.
There it is. Exciting. Look,
why do you think I'm wearing pink today? It's a little spoiler alert.
So I just want to look. I don't think anybody definitively knows what is going to happen, but we were talking about this last week. That the debate, we see Fabrizio Romano tweet about, mm-hmm. like, hey, Messi's he's definitely staying at PSG. All my sources are saying that. And then, you know, our source, Mike Ryan Ruiz of the Dan Le Batard show with Stugatz, says, no, that is incorrect. Which a lot of times people will lean on Fabrizio because it's Fabrizio.
Sure.
But there seem to be a lot of people saying, like, hey, it's not an open and shut case. There's actually, it seems like and Don Garber mentions this in the interview as well, like, hey, we're going to try to do what we can to bring a player like this, and which could mean, I don't know if it's 99% ownership of Inter Miami. Who knows? But it's not that crazy to try to throw the kitchen sink at him.
No, and it's not. And on a serious note, I have no idea what Messi is going to do.
We're not clipping that part. We're clipping the part when you said you definitely know he's coming. but I understand why you're
Again. However, I will say that, okay, I'm going to go backwards a little bit here. And I don't think you thought that this is where this conversation was going to go.
No, I love surprises.
I walked into a bar in Atlanta, and who was sitting there? Charles Barkley. And who did I end up talking to all night? Charles Barkley. Okay. And we ended up, of course, this is going back way over a year ago. We started talking about how Messi needs to come to MLS.
Right.
And Charles Barkley said, you know, I think if all the owners put some money in the pot.
Can you just do a better Charles Barkley impression? Are you capable of that?
No. That's not good. That wasn't really good.
No, go. Tell the story.
Chuck told me. I'm telling you. This Messi guy, he's like, Messi, that all the owners need to give a little bit of money to bring Messi to MLS.
Ah.
Like, okay, sure, the team he goes to gives, like, a little bit more. Yeah. And like, I was like, that's pool. Crazy. Yeah. And then, like, I woke up that morning with a hangover the next day, and I thought to myself, that's actually a really good idea, that it is in, even if Messi scores 9 goals on Atlanta United, it is in Arthur Blank's interest to also have Messi in MLS. So while I'm sure people like Don Garber, our commissioner, know better what the business template should look like,
yeah,
Chuck's not wrong when he says that every owner should throw some money in the pot, or every owner has a vested interest in Messi coming, yeah, even if he beats you in MLS Cup.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, so like...
I mean, this is...
Chuck, we trust.
This is, yeah, you are 100%... Correct. There was no. I would have never guessed that that's the story about Messi potentially coming to MLS would have involved Charles Barkley in any way possible.
Something people don't know about me is there's no one on planet Earth I love more than Charles Barkley.
Okay.
And so when I ran into him, anything he told me now is Bible to me.
Sure,
there
sure.
were other things that I'm not going to dive
whole,
into.
Whole conversation is just tattooed on her body.
Yeah.
Just, I
but when we talked about MLS, I was all for that idea. I mean, if you ever listen to their podcast, The Steam Room, that's another great podcast. That's kind of like you guys in the way that, or I like to think with us with the call up is like, yeah, you can follow the league, not follow the league. They might not even talk about the NBA in that. It's just you really get to learn about a person that's on the other end. And they talked about the World Cup when it was going on. Yeah. And I was like, oh boy, where is this going? And he goes, you know, that finals thing, mind you, Argentina versus France was that finals thing. That was one of the best sporting events I've ever seen. And I was like, yes, you're getting there. And then someone chimed in with when Atlanta lost like what, 28 point lead in the Super Bowl. He goes, no, we don't talk about that. I'm still paying that one off.
Amazing. So look, I appreciate the compliment and the similarity. If you guys want to listen to a podcast like ours of two guys who've never won an NBA title, go check out this.
Oh man!
Yes, did you see that clip? Where, I think it was Kelsey Plum, the WNBA player. I think she was on the podcast with Barkley.
Yeah.
And she roasted him about because he roasted her about something because she won a title, and then she was like, "Oh well, you haven't or whatever." And it was great. Huge fan of Kelsey Plum. She's awesome.
Crimson Pizza, Jillian really bringing the Alexis tangent energy. Is that a diss?
Yeah. No, it is not. It is not a diss because
tangents aren't good.
Alexis does this all the time where I ask him like a legitimate question and it really goes into
I'm sorry.
12 different places.
You're trying to stick to like a thing.
But that's the...
I want to stick to Christian's plan.
That's the nature of the show. The reason this show is successful is because I come in with a plan and Alexis is like...
Research, statistics.
We ain't doing that, okay?
For the next 19 minutes, let's sit on tracks.
Alexis is like, yo, what about this pizza?
So that's what it is. And look, now I have a Mike, the producer, to it could be 2v1, and we still lose, okay?
Sorry, guys.
So Matt Graham just said, Messi to Miami and Ronaldo to Kansas City, and put a laughing emoji. I don't know. I mean, look, I would say this. The stuff about Messi...
Kansas City. Peter Vermees and Ronaldo?
Fabrizio Romano said in a tweet a couple of weeks ago that that this would all be sorted out by the end of February. And we're in March.
Like this past February.
This past February, yeah. So, and look, so he's going to, I'm sure more, I'm not saying that necessarily that it we should doubt Fabrizio or whatever. Like, I'm sure he's hearing something from one camp. And I'm sure, people at Inter Miami might be saying some other things. And there may not be that, like, I think, who is it? Is it Messi's dad that handles all his negotiations or something like that?
Something like that.
I think so. So I just think the reason we don't have a definitive answer of him signing with PSG is because I think the offer is getting probably a little bit sweeter from MLS and into Miami, where he's like, I don't know. Maybe I got to think about it a little bit more, PSG.
MLS is sweetening the pot, perhaps. Oh, I love that. You know what, too? Phil Neville's on my five-a-side, as you saw. The man had the guts to bench Gonzalo Higuain.
Right.
And now he's got Joseph Martinez. So, like, he is primed to manage Messi.
Okay. Look, I hope it... Look, I feel bad for Inter Miami fans because, obviously... The like penalties that Inter Miami are sort of dealing with are not ideal. But Phil Neville is trying to do what he can with what he has. And look, they made it to the playoffs last year. I was at the game at Citi Field against NYCFC. You can clearly see improvement. And then,
yeah, 100%.
They're getting their stadium, I don't know what year, but it should be in like the next two, 3 years.
2020 something.
I mean, but
and I'm so happy it's going to be in Queens, by the way.
Oh, well, I was referring to Miami. But
oh,
yes.
Them too.
Yeah, they're getting their stadium sooner.
Yeah, a little sooner, maybe.
But no, but both of those franchises is going to be incredible. But Miami getting their stadium in Miami
stadium is going to be in Queens. You're already here.
Honestly,
and Messi's going to play.
It might be closer to downtown Miami in Queens than it is wherever it is right now.
But it'll definitely change the league. Look, nobody would want this more than me. This would be just incredible. And just like when David Beckham got to MLS, and I think there's a couple of things, because to me, I see the growth of the sport in this country and there's milestones like that. David Beckham arriving, a couple of the, even Atlanta United arriving, NYCFC, Orlando City, like they sort of changed the perception of the league. But Messi playing whatever 2-3 years in Major League Soccer would be absolutely surreal. I mean, he's not only one of the best players to ever play the game, he's just one of the most famous human beings that have ever existed.
Oh, there's no doubt. It would take MLS to a whole nother level. And people say the David Beckham effect, and I think it would be the David Beckham effect really times 1,000. And I really feel confident that at some point it's going to happen. And I really love that everyone will be able to watch. Like, how wrong would it be for Messi to be behind, like, a regional sports network that you can only get on this stream or through this service?
Right.
That, like, anyone can sign up and they can watch Messi. And I can't wait for it.
The other cool thing I've heard, I forgot who tweeted this, but somebody mentioned about players in MLS saying that their families back home in other countries, it was like the first time they got to watch them play on TV, because they could just get Apple and watch, because that wasn't always an option, especially in foreign markets.
Yeah.
And that's just like another just interesting kind of wrinkle to it. Even the players are like, this is great. I can just text my mom the link and she can just sign up, because I don't want to explain to her how she has to sign up for some, regional some regional app.
Yeah, there were some really nice stories that came through after week one about people back home in Europe or Africa being able to, they're watching at 3 o'clock in the morning, but at least they're able to see their son's first goal.
Yeah.
That was great.
Very, very sweet. I'm excited about what the future of I think MLS looks like under watching on Apple TV. Like I said already, it's just in these 2 weeks it has felt very transformative. It's a level of like I said, appointment television, and just a really, really fun experience. And I think it's doing justice to the quality on the field, because the negative things we used to hear about the retirement league this and like the quality of play and blah blah blah, and it's like the players have the quality. They just needed the platform. You ever heard stuff like that?
Yep.
There's so much incredible talent in the league, and the fact that it is now just accessible and looks incredible, it's just, I don't know, it's just like, it's motivating, and it's actually getting me more excited to just be involved in soccer media and everything like
That's so nice to hear, Christian, because kind of like I said at the top, like, fans have deserved a better landing spot, as have the players, as have the people putting in the work, as have the journalists. I'm really excited for a better place and a more organized place, a more accessible place for this to live. And seeing what we did in just 2 weeks' time to all the amazing people who've been working on this for way longer than 2 weeks, I can't believe that was two match days into what's going to be a 10-year deal. So I'm really excited for what's to come in even a few months, how much different, how much better MLS Wrap-Up is going to look, how much better MLS Countdown is going to look. I'm really looking forward to that.
All right, and if anybody has any issues with Apple TV,
tweet me,
Jillian Sackowitz at Jillian Sackowitz on Twitter. It's the same on Instagram as well, I believe.
Sure,
right?
Is.
But Jillian, thank you so much for
thank you guys
hanging out.
This
today
is incredible. I love the setup. I love the chat. I love everything about it.
We're doing it. So everybody's been crushing it in the chat. Thank you for everything. Alexis, like I said, we'll be back next week. But for our substitutes, the last three episodes. We had David Goss, Christine Kupo, now Jillian Sackovitz, all absolutely crushed it. So thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you so much, Jillian.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
We will be, as always, make sure you subscribe here on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts as well.
Download
the podcast. What are you, crazy? I mean, you're missing out on all this gold. all right. Anything else before we wrap up? I think we're good. What's the percentage of the poll? Do we know?
Final poll reading. So still Jillian, I'm sorry. 61% Christian, 39% Jillian, 41 votes. But we'll put it out to the Twitter audience as well.
We'll see what
I'm not coming back.
We'll see. I mean, you know, the YouTube chat has spoken. Okay. It was an incredible matchup, our five-a-side. But, you know, we'll see what Twitter has to say. Everybody, y'all the absolute best. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We'll be back next week. Tell your friends, everybody. Peace.